Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. I'll turn the meeting over to Rich now as he's going to honor our graduates.
You know, summer's a kind of funny time because the kids just can't wait to get out of school. And even some of the parents are like, you know, school's over. Whew. And then all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, now the kids are home and we're going to be running around with other stuff. So what am I going to do? So it'll be good to have Joe come up later and share with us a little bit about Vacation Bible School, because that's something that definitely the kids could be involved in. What we're going to do today, or in just a few minutes, is basically just recognize some of our graduates, graduates from eighth grade going into high school and graduates from high school going on to college. And just as to reiterate a theme, when it comes to the teachers and these different kids, we always think of train a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. That the focus is always on what is that training, and that training is presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those are truths that no matter what age you go through, that Kenilworth seeks to present to the different kids. Now, normally I'd bring Sarah up and say, Sarah, could you please recognize who the eighth graders are? And, you know, I know you would have something for them, but Sarah's a little busy today. She's got something going on, you know, something baby. You know, I mean, I don't know what kind of excuse, but no, seriously. So we're going to wait for Sarah to come back, and then what she's going to do is she's going to individually name off the different graduates just to make it special for each of them. With the high schoolers, we have two of them, and I'm looking here, and they're not even here either. The two of them were Mary McCarthy and Chinoso, and they're not here either, so I can't even hand the little Bible that we have for them. So this is going to be like almost like a group bunch graduation. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask John Hankey to come up, and what he's going to do is he's going to pray lock, stock, and barrel for the different eighth graders and the different high schoolers that are graduating. No, we won't name them all. We'll just lump them in together and call them our graduates. So I'll turn it over to John just to say a quick prayer, just to dedicate those graduates.
Well, I'm coming up here a lot quicker than I thought I was going to be. Okay, let's just give thanks. Heavenly Father, Lord God, hallowed be your name. Father, we just thank you for the children that are part of this fellowship, and they're just a blessing here to us, and we just, again, just really thankful for them, their joy and their energy, and we're thankful for the teachers and all those involved in our Sunday school that make it work, and we're thankful for your word that has been, you know, given to them, and through lessons, through the examples of our teachers, and we just pray that those lessons would really become part of our young people's lives as they go through their lives in the future. And Father, we just thank you that they have made it as far as they have through eighth grade and through high school. We thank you for the accomplishments that they've achieved. And Father, as you've reminded us in your word, all the good things that we have, all the skills that we have, the intelligence that we have, Father, they all come from you. And help us never to be too proud or too arrogant, but just to be thankful to you for all that you've blessed us with, all the talents and the skills. Because again, they're not anything that we've done. They're just everything that you've given to us. And Father, and again, as we come to you in prayer, we just thank you for the salvation that we have through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray for continued success for our young people. We pray that as they go on, they would not be not fall into temptation to those bad things around them, but that they would just kind of stay on the path of righteousness, do the things that are right, and not sway to the left or the right. Father, we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just share a song with us.
It just kind of goes along with what John was saying. Moving on, we're going to take put on the whole armor of God.
Oh.
So that the children will be prepared to face whatever they're going to be facing in the future. Also, the armor of God is the theme for BBS. So that's why we're using this song. If anybody knows it out there, we really appreciate your voices. I can't put it this way because we need it this way. All right? But Kathy's going to come in. I can hear the piano more than us, so it might just happen.
Hey, good morning. Great job, kids. Wonderful singing. Wonderful singing. I like that tune. Does anybody know, have we hit summer yet? The official start of summer? You know, that day we have? Wow. Yesterday? I didn't miss it by much, just today. But I knew it was summer because there are sure signs of summer, right? I have to run around and put these window air conditioners in all my windows and quadruple my electric bill so my kids could sleep at night, you know. It's rather hot. If you open up the sports page, the Red Sox are in first place. This is another sign it's summer, you know. The Yankees are always looking up at us. And I see all of these sad faces on the children, you know. They're all just so bumming out, right, guys? But guess what, right? There's no school tomorrow. Oh, there's no school tomorrow. But there is school. There is school tomorrow. Yes, there is. Vacation Bible school starts tomorrow, right? And we are going to have a great time at Vacation Bible School. So I really want to encourage you to set those alarms nice and early, okay, because there's going to be a lot of action going on here at the chapel starting at, 9-ish. You could register at 9:15. I believe that's correct. Right, Miss Lori? 9:15, and we start at 9:30. Now we're going to have games out on the street. I think Julian Leone is going to be out there. You know, and he is world-renowned for leading games. He knows all these crazy games for you guys to play. And then we're going to have Miss Michelle is going to be doing crafts. Where is Miss Michelle at? Oh, she's babysitting. Well, you know, you didn't realize, but Miss Michelle actually has her own cable show as far as crafts go, and she's very good. So you guys are going to learn a lot about glue and paint and making different things. In fact, I think I'm going to have to go downstairs and make my own craft. It's very exciting. So you're going to have a lot of fun there. And, of course, to start off with, we're going to have Miss Lisa and Mr. Scott leading the singing and doing different things. So that's going to be exciting. And then we have for the women folk who have a day off this week or two or three or four or five, we're going to have Miss Faith. With the Women's Bible Study and Barb McKenzie teaching that study, and you do a nice craft. I mean, I still have things in my house that are the centerpiece of my living room and my kitchen that my wife has made at these things. So it's very edifying. So I'd really encourage the women to take part and to really, come here with an open mind and open heart, and you could grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we're also going to learn about how to dress for success. We're going to learn about the armor of God, and I have with me a small piece of that armor, that we're going to learn about. You guys know what this is, right? A pocket knife? No, this is the sword. But do you know who was the absolute greatest person at handling a sword? Was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to learn about that, yes. We'll learn about that this week. Maybe not this particular sword, although this is a pretty good sword. I think I can handle all comers. I can use this on a basketball court against Mr. Greg and Mr. Lewis. But we're going to learn at some point this week about what this represents and who the greatest was at handling this sword. And other things too. So I encourage you. And right over here also, just to entice you a little more, we have all these great prizes. Okay, this wiffle ball bat happens to be autographed by Derek Jeter, a good friend of mine. He says he might show up on Tuesday or Wednesday. He's not sure. So he may pop in. And then we have other things, soccer ball. I'm a big soccer fan. I think this is an official one here. Alarm clocks, all kinds of groovy stuff. So please, get a good night's rest, because we're going to wear you out this week. And you're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Trust me. Okay, is Mr. Parsons going to be coming up now, or do we have another plan? Okay. I heard something about a dance going on here, but I think, look, I saw some feathers back there. I'd just like to introduce Mr. Phil Parsons with CMML, and he's going to bring us the message this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. And after hearing that advertisement for Daily Vacation Bible School, well, that's great. Well, it's great to be here, and thank you for inviting me to come. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12. So in your Bibles, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll see what the Lord has for us today as we glean good things from His Word. Thank you for your prayers for us at CMML. We're coming up on our second year anniversary. Previously, we were 20 years in the Philippines. In fact, what I'm wearing this morning is a barong, and something that I could wear every Sunday in the Philippines, I can only wear because of constraints in weather and temperature. I can only wear for a couple of months here in this country. So I'm not trying to start a new fashion fad, but this is what is worn in the Philippines. It really is a comfortable piece of garment and clothing. And perhaps you have been following the news of late. The Philippines was just ravaged by Typhoon Frank. In fact, my daughter and family, her husband Josh and our two grandkids are in the Philippines, and we tried to call them last night and couldn't get through. And I pretty much surmised that one of the reasons why we couldn't get through was that they probably lost their power. And I checked a website, and sure enough, that typhoon went right through the area where they were living. Coming up from the south and heading north, traveled right over the area near to Faith Academy, the school for children of missionaries where we ministered for many years. And so we finally did get in touch with them and confirmed that the power had been out. In fact, even before I left this morning, the power is still out in their neck of the woods in the Philippines. But one of the most interesting stories to come out of that was a vessel of about 700 people, capsized. And they fear that all have been lost. I guess they found four survivors or that many. And so the nation is reeling yet again from another catastrophic storm. Pray for the Philippines. It's a needy country. We're thankful that, Lord willing, our daughter and two grandchildren will be coming home for a time of furlough. We expect that they'll arrive at Newark Airport this coming Friday. And so that will be kind of a fun gathering for family. We're looking forward to that. And then Josh, her husband, will join them later in July. Josh is keen on a basketball evangelism. He's a 6'8" young man. It's very humbling to have to look up to somebody who's taller than me. But that is the case. I have to kind of keep him in his place. But he's a fine man, and he's enjoying a time of basketball evangelism. So again, we are grateful for your prayers. Our ministry at Christian Missions in Many Lands is a ministry to missionaries. We're so thankful that we had several missionary families stop by the facility down there in Wall Township. We had pretty much every room occupied during the month of May and into June. And now those missionaries have moved on, and we have nobody in residence. We have Tom Aiken. Tom Aiken and his wife, Elizabeth, and their child, one of their sons, is in residence at CMML just now. And so we're grateful for the opportunity. The Lord has opened that door for us to be part of the ministry. So again, thank you for your prayers. And let's begin with a word of prayer as we open the scriptures this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, following along in a sequence that has been ongoing. Father, we pause in your presence this morning to give thanks for your many blessings to us. We want to pray and remember the Philippines as they work through and endure this bit of a trial. And we think, Father, of many lives that have already been lost. And we are reminded that with a life lost, there's a family involved. And we ask, Father, that you would draw near to them. And Father, may they learn, may they see, may they understand the deeper things that you have in store for them in the midst of great tragedy and great sorrow. We think, Father, of the believers who remain and ask that you would draw near to them as they comfort those that are experiencing loss. We pray for the missionaries serving in the Philippines, and we ask your blessing upon them as they depend upon you for help working through this catastrophe. We ask, Father, for your help this morning as we look into your word. Father, may we be sensitized to the things that you would have us learn. And Father, may we leave from here different than when we walked in. Father, may we be not just hearers of your word. Help us, fathers, to be doers of your word. And we will be careful to give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As you've been working through the this great epistle in Hebrews, we see the struggle experienced by these Hebrews of leaving one religious system for another. They were leaving the popular for the unpopular. They were leaving the majority for the minority. They were the oppressors for the oppressed. And the writer, as we start to pick up the reading in chapter 12, it's as though the writer was emphasizing, now is the time. Now is the time. It may even be past time for the Hebrew Christians. It's time to separate yourselves from Judaism. In fact, it's time to take their rightful place outside the camp. They are to disassociate themselves from a group and a system that rejected and crucified their Lord. The writer of the Hebrews, especially as we start to get into chapter 12, is showing that the Old Testament sacrifices had already been completed because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And now it was ready to pass away. In fact, in chapter 11, you had that great roll call, the heroes of faith. And the writer was imploring that from the heroes of faith, looking back on their own history, their own Jewish history, that they were to walk by faith. These were the ones who endured the tremendous suffering and the tremendous shame. But they were the ones that never renounced their faith. And so the writer is saying, you know what? You do the same. You do the same. Look at Abel, the one who understood what a blood sacrifice was all about. How about Enoch, who walked with God 300 years, Enoch believed. And Noah. Noah believed God. Believed that he was in his word about destroying the earth with a flood, and so he built an ark. Abraham, that tremendous example of obedience by faith, as he left his home and left his country. Sarah, who conceived long after childbearing years had passed. But God promised her. And she knew that God could not go back on his word. Then there was Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and Gideon, Barak and Samson, David and Samuel, and the list goes on. The great testimonies of the heroes of faith who believed and walked by faith. And the writer is saying to us today, you do the same, as he was writing to the believers who were struggling back during the time when this is written. They were the ones who believed in God. They didn't stumble under the persecution as were the Hebrews of the day. They didn't stumble under the shame and under the pressure. And now he's saying to us, now you do likewise. What a great admonition as we come together this morning. The truth that we start to understand in our heads and our hearts needs to be applied, and we need to initiate a response in our hands and our feet. What we do and how we walk. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and have paid them respect, and we have paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. And we trust the Lord to add his blessing in the reading of the scriptures this morning. Therefore, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Can you start to picture in your mind that amphitheater with thousands of spectators witnessing, gathered to watch a race of long-distance runners? You see, this is what the writer positions ourselves to presume and make us feel as though we're in a race, a long-distance race. The readers are the runners, and the heroes of faith are the spectators, the ones gathered in the stands watching. The Greek word martus, translated witnesses, and may be understood in a couple of different ways. It could be the faithful believers have finished the race, are now in heaven, and they're the ones that are shouting encouragements. Now, I have not been one prone to running, I don't enjoy running. And perhaps some of you feel the same way. But I have watched runnings. In fact, I taught in a town where the Boston Marathon went right through. And although I didn't see it in person, but watching the race on television, those who stood on the sidelines watching those pass by and the encouragements that they were hurling to the runners, it must have been a great feeling. And here we have the witnesses shouting encouragements as we run the race. And the other point of view is what we witness in them as we recall those heroes of faith and we start to understand their great testimony. What a great encouragement it is for each one of us as we understand the kinds of things that they endured during their lives. We hear the shout and we hear the encouragement as we read the pages of Scripture. So regardless of what point of view you might take here, it's the faithfulness of the past that should speak perhaps the most loudly to us today. And now, as the readers, as those who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are on the track. We are the ones that are called to be faithful. And you might say to yourselves, well, how did we get into this race? How did we get into this race? First of all, it's not optional. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you are in the race. And thankfully, we have been placed at the starting blocks, not at the finish line. That's an important concept to understand. As soon as we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we were placed in the starting blocks. And God is not finished with us yet. What a great truth. We have been appointed to run, regardless of whether you want to or not. You've been appointed to run. And we must run. We cannot remain stationary. And yet many of us do just that. We start out of the starting blocks, and then we stagnate. We don't run. We're not persevering. There may be some here this morning, and you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You may have even shared a testimony. But then you do nothing more. You're like the runner who has been kicked out of the starting gate, and you're just doing nothing. You're slowly drifting and starting to understand that I kind of like my former way of life. You see, growth in Christ does require some effort on our part. It's a call for each of us to be studiers of God's Word. It's a call for each of us to be in fellowship one with another. See, it's no mistake that you're here this morning. It's good and it's appropriate to come apart from the cares and concerns of the day and spend these moments together in fellowship. For it helps us move along. It helps us and keeps us from doing nothing. The life of a Christian is indeed a race. And if you know Him and have that relationship with Him, you're in the race this morning. But we need to make progress. And we need to avoid being stationary. We have a very vivid picture of what that all looked like many, many years ago when the children of Israel left Egypt. You remember that they walked through the parted Red Seas. They moved from a place where they were no longer slaves. They were separated from their place of slavery and from their masters. They indeed were very free. Great thing. They began their race. They were now in the race. But they needed to keep going. There was a finish line ahead of them. It was the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. What God intended for His children to be part of, they were now in pursuit of that. And God was ready to transform those who were slaves into His soldiers. But the race was a tough race. And life in the wilderness was a challenge. They had that manna for food. And there was no danger that they would be forced back into slavery because their masters were dead. As that pursuit entailed, the children of Israel made it safely onto the other side. And as they were in hot pursuit, those who were pursuing them, the waters came back and swallowed them up. There was no danger of them going back into slavery. Their masters were dead. But there was a danger that they would desire to go back to Egypt. They were the ones who longed for the cucumbers in Egypt and the fish and the melons and the onions and the leeks and the garlic. Yeah, they wanted to go back. And so in their unbelief, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. They had a great start. When that gun went off, they started out of those starting blocks. But they remained stationary. And many of the children of Israel lost the race because they did not make progress as God intended them to do. The writer here points out to us some rules for running. Some rules and instructions for running the race. First, he says you got to keep your weight down. I'm not so sure that it means your physical weight, for I'm in deep trouble. But you need to keep your weight down. You need to keep your limbs free. Your arms and your legs, they've got to be free. And you've got to keep your eyes fixed. Got to keep your eyes up. The scriptures tell us that we're to lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. The encumbrances. Anything that hinders or undermines your energy for God's things. And so, for a moment, what are the things that hinder you in your race this morning? They would be the things that consume us. Our time. Our affections. Our habits. Our hobbies. Our friendships. The things that we allow ourselves to read. The things that we entertain or amuse ourselves with. Sometimes even our career is an encumbrance. And you know, not necessarily are any of these things wrong or sin. But if they keep us from running the race that God intends for us to run, they can be wrong. The sin that so easily ensnares us. Referring to chapter 11 because of the very first word of chapter 12, therefore you need to go back and look at what was preceding that. The sin that was affecting the Hebrews was their lack of faith. Unbelief. And that's what keeps us from moving forward. That's what keeps us from making progress. Unbelief. Now, back in the days when the Greeks were really involved in sport, in fact, as we think of this coming August 8th and the beginning of yet another Olympics, keep in mind that when the Olympics first started, runners ran naked. That is, they knew that if they were to wear any kind of clothing, it would impede their ability to run well. You know that many, many dollars are spent in designing